Blog Talk Radio.
Never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
it down. Raining now, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking territory,
fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before.
Battle. Good morning, Saints. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Blog Talk. Hallelujah. We're taking a charge of our lives, and we're walking in the fullness, and we are walking in victory. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly we honor our co-host who has done a phenomenal job on last month giving you the Word of God and presenting this show and some outstanding lessons. Go back. You could always go to Blog Talk Radio, and look up Amazing Grace Ministries, Destroying the Yokes of Bondage, and listen to any of our previous messages. So go listen over and over again. Certainly we try to bring you timely messages that addresses the times that we're living in. So we have a spirit-filled show on this morning. So be prayerful as we get into a new month. Principalities and Satan and all kinds of stuff is continuing to go on in our world because this world is not saved. But we are in this world, not of the world, but we are in this world, and certainly we can stand against everything that Satan is throwing at our way. Please consider giving a donation to Amazing Grace Ministries. If you need to know where to send that donation, you can give me a text. Mostly everybody that listens to this program on a regular basis knows my cell phone number, knows our co-host cell phone number, and can give a shout out. Praise the Lord. And certainly I want to say thank you to all of those that have donated, all of those that helped to keep this show on the radio. We appreciate you. And certainly we decree to everyone listening in radio land that you are blessed, and we bind the enemy that tries to destroy, tries to hamper, tries to hinder, because certainly he can delay your blessings, but he can't deny what God has for you. So if this radio show, if this talk show is a blessing, I need to for you to just give me a shout-out, give me an email, give me a text, say, Dr. Carey, Evangelist Rogers, you're doing a good job. And certainly hit me up if you want the link to this show. You can also give me a text, 309-750-7584, and I will be glad to send you a link to this direct show. Or, well, I could tell you, http://tobtr.com/backslash/s/122646111 will get you live into the show right now, or it will also get you to listen to the show later on. Praise the Lord. Let's get into the lesson, shall we? Scriptures teach us that sin began with man's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Given a choice, Eve and Adam took their own ways instead of God's. The pattern has carried down through the ages. The original sin, inherited from one generation to the next, has inflicted or infected every generation or every human being ever born. Well, we have a word on today that will illuminate your hearts. It will lift you up to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ to end your suffering. We will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and it will also take you or get you closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weaponry to achieve those goals. Mm-hmm. This month, this new month of September, the focus is on Jesus. All eyes on Jesus. All roads, all eyes on Jesus. The first lesson in this first Saturday of September is eating with the enemy. I'm going to repeat that, eating with the enemy. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 44. And this morning I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And certainly you can read along if you got your King James. You can read along with that. But the New Living Translation is able to translate the text as closely as possible. It breaks it down so that we can understand it. And certainly it's a clear representation of the word. So Jesus criticizes the religious leaders. As Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So he went in and he took his place at the table. His host was amazed to see that he sat down to eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony required by Jewish customs. Then the Lord said to him, "You Pharisees are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and wickedness. Fools, did not God make the inside as well as the outside? soul clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor, and you will be clean all over. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for your love, for you love to sit in the seat of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk in the marketplace. Yes, what sorrow awaits you, for you are like hidden graves in a field. People walk over them without knowing the corruption they are stepping on. So I want to do a brief history, praise God, of Luke before I get into today's lesson. And we see that the Gospel of Luke was traditionally, when you look at the author, you find that the author that wrote Luke and Acts was the same individual. And of course, Luke was a physician. So he wrote from a physician's point of view. Not only that, but he was a close companion to the Apostle Paul. And Luke is a book that was written not by a Jew, but Luke was a Gentile. And so when you look at this book, it doesn't have that many Jewish customs that accompany it, but from the point of view of what Jesus was addressing. So this book was probably or likely written between 58 to 65 A.D. And the purpose of writing this book was to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to do that and to teach until the day he was taken to heaven, which we find in Acts 1, verses 1 through 2. The Gospel of Luke is unique in that it is an orderly account. It's consistent with Luke's medicine mind or his medical mind. And he gives the history of the life of the great physician. So as he was a physician, he gives Jesus in that light, the great physician. And certainly he emphasized Jesus' compassion to the Gentiles, to the Samaritans, to women, to the children, to tax collectors and sinners and others, outcasts of Israel. So here Luke is addressing or giving the compassion that God has for his people. So when you look at Luke, and basically it's called the most beautiful book ever written. And this book tells, first of all, it tells of Jesus' parents. And if you go back and look at it, of course, you know the birth. You know it tells of Mary. It tells of John the Baptist. It tells of Joseph's journey to Bethlehem, Jesus born in a manger, Jesus' public ministry, the compassion and the forgiveness that he had. And it also looks at the prodigal son, and certainly those are classics. We know of all of those, and it gives the rich man and it Lazarus and the Good Samaritan. So we can see God's love and his compassion throughout this book. And it also encourages God's the disciples, God's Jesus' followers, those that was following him. And also the fact that the grave could not hold him. It assures his resurrection and his continued ministry. And certainly as we look today, we can see his continued ministry through us, through the Holy Ghost. So when we look at the book of Luke, it gives a compassionate overview, a portrait of the compassionate Savior. And certainly it gives an example of who we are to be. Jesus was not turned off by the poor. He was not turned off by the needy. He was not turned off by those that seemed to have less than he did. But he was meticulous. You know, he had a relationship. And one of the things about Christ Jesus, he formed relationships. A lot of times we don't want to form relationships. We look at people and we say what they are all about, or they might have a hairstyle, or they might look a certain way, and yet we don't want to form those relationships. Here we see that not only did Jesus form a relationship with the enemy, because at that time, this was an enemy. He went into the house of a Pharisee. Of course, that Pharisee probably thought maybe that I'm inviting the Rabbi Jesus into my house. This is a big event for me. He is an up-and-coming entrepreneur. So here we have a picture of what we are to do. So when we look at the Pharisee and when we start defining people, and I want to get into some definitions right now, we see Pharisee. Pharisee was the member of the Jewish religious sect. He was a bitter enemy of Jesus and Jesus' cause. I want you to underline that. Pharisee was a member of the Jewish religious upper class. There was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Here we're focusing on the Pharisees, and they were literally a bitter enemy of Jesus Christ. Can you go in? My question to you this morning is, can you go in, or not even in their homes, can you go to lunch with your enemy and have a relationship with your enemy? I know we go out with our loved ones and our friends, but can you go out and eat with your enemy and show them the love of God? That's a concept. So here, let's define the word wickedness. Now, we got a lot going on in this passage of scripture that I read to you earlier. We got a real lot going on. So when we look at, I want to point out wickedness and what the definition of wickedness. The definition of wickedness is evil purposes and desires, iniquity, depravity. Scriptures teaches that sin began with man's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. This pattern has carried down through ages. This original sin has been inherited from one generation to the next. And that sin has affected every human, everything, the land, everything the sin has affected. Every generation has been affected by sin. Now, when we look at wickedness, there is a word, a concept that says a wicked problem. And a wicked problem is thing that has difficulty being solved is impossible, is incomplete, is contrary, it's changing the requirements, and it's often difficult to recognize. And this wicked problem is social, it has cultural issues, and it is certainly something that you can't put your hands on to solve. So the opposite of wickedness is righteous. Paul over in Romans 3 and 10 states, he points out that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So Paul is giving us an indication that no one of us is righteous. And when we look at the state of affairs that's going on around us, we see wicked problems manifesting itself in economic, in environment, in political, in poverty, in education, every aspect. And if we look at the city of Chicago, we say we've got a man of God that's sitting as mayor, but still, wickedness still exists. Wickedness still is in the earth, is in every aspect of our lives today. But hallelujah, thank God, we still have the power, saints of God. And that's why I bring you this information, because we want you to recognize that what we're dealing with is sin. Not only is it sin, it's generational sins. Sometimes the younger generation want to say, oh, that happened with my fathers and my fathers before, or ancestors, as they want to call it. But those sins has trickled down the line, and they're still present in the society today. And it seems to be that because the wickedness is there, there seems to be no outright solution. And every solution they try to come up with is just putting a Band-Aid on a sore that seems to get bigger over time. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So when we look at it, when we look at wickedness, it refers, or wicked problems, it refers to an area or problem that cannot be fixed. Whether there is a single solution to the problem, and wicked denotes resistance to the solution rather than evil. Another definition is a problem whose social complexity means that it has no determinable stopping point. It has no stopping point. Moreover, because of the complex interdependencies that affects one to solve one aspect of a wicked problem, many reveal or create other problems. In essence, what I said, we put a Band-Aid, society put a Band-Aid on a wound, a sore, and it ends up corroding your whole arm, and your arm begins to fall off. So in essence, what are we saying? We're saying that the only solution, first of all, is God, and God healing this land and turning from our wicked ways. There's a scripture that talks about that. Y'all go find it for me and text me the scripture. Praise the Lord. So we see in chapter 11, and I'm starting here, but we're going to deal a little bit more because I want to go back up, because we've been dealing with spirits. And a couple of weeks ago, Satan took us off the radio, but he's alive. We got that fixed, but they could never determine why or what happened, the reason why the broadcast never aired. But praise God, God gives us the victory. So when we look at chapter 11, we see that Jesus is teaching and warning. He teaches about the power of prayer and warns against the satanic forces. He teaches on the purpose and warns against pretension. He teaches on benevolence and against self-centeredness. He teaches on love and warns against hypocrisy. He gives a message on hypocrisy that was the directed at the Pharisees. And that's where we are on this day. Hypocrisy against the Pharisees. And certainly we see that the New Testament depicts the Pharisees as the opposers of Jesus Christ and every early church. They were a religious group that were more ceremonial, with ceremonial laws, than God's or Jesus Christ's kingdom. So we get here. Let's get to the word or the scripture. So we hear the verse. And Jesus gets an invitation to come to his enemy's house. He gets the invitation to come and dine with a particular Pharisee. And in that dining with the Pharisee, praise God, oh, I got time. Hallelujah. He sits down. And there was a custom when you sat down, when Jewish custom that required that you wash your hands and before you sat at the table. But Jesus came right in and sat at the table and didn't wash nothing. He just sat down and he started eating, which the Pharisees saw that and he didn't comment on it. But you know, how many of you know that God knows your thoughts? He knows what you're going to say before you say it. So Jesus addressed it. Jesus addressed that speck that was in his eye. And certainly when we start looking at others and we don't address that being that's in our heart, we look at others and say, what they all about? But yet we don't take the time to understand that there is some failures, there is some sins in us that God is trying to address in us. And if we look at ourselves and if we analyze ourselves, if we search ourselves, you know, like David said, search me, Lord, and take out everything that's not like you. And that's what we have to do, because here is a man that wants to be bold. He wants to look good. He wants to say, I have dined with Jesus. I'm somebody. But yet, he don't seem to understand there's more to a relationship than just than my washing your hands, because you want to be clean on the outside, but on the inside you like filthy rags because your heart is not right. And that's what Jesus was addressing. Jesus was addressing this Pharisee. He was addressing the fact that, man, you want me to wash my hands and my feet, but you're unclean. You've got this big old beam in your eye. You want people to pay tithes, but yet you don't want to follow your own rules and regulations. You make the poor, you slight the poor, and you are more hard on those around you, and you have not love for those in need. So Jesus was literally taking him apart and showing his inward part. So the word says, or over in 1 Samuel, the Lord seeketh not as man seeketh, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And here God was looking on the heart. He was addressing the heart. He was coming into relationship with the Pharisee to let him know where he was wrong. And the fact that you're looking at something other than what Christ was addressing and looking at. You were criticizing. And certainly during that time, the Pharisees set up laws. Those laws they set up was for their benefit. They weren't laws that God generated, or even laws that Moses generated. But they added to those laws. They added to those laws for those laws to benefit them. And certainly if they paid they wanted to be seen. You know, sometimes when you do things behind the scenes, you do it for God's glory. But here's a man that wanted to be seen. He wanted to show the society what he was doing. And you know, when you do it from the heart, God honors what you do from the heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God was addressing the Pharisee. He was addressing the Pharisee and how he was, what he wanted, where his heart was at. And he was trying to let them know that it's not about ceremonial laws and regulations. The tithe is good, and we ought to pay our tithes, but we ought to do much, much more as well. We ought to give God the glory, and we ought to serve Jesus with all our heart. So if we're sitting with our enemies, if we're having lunch with our enemies, not to say we're not hanging and going this place or that, but breaking bread, are we able to address and to straighten or plant a seed that will help our enemies? Hallelujah. And not only that, Jesus gets down to the fact, you know, whoa unto you. He gives warnings. Man, you about to mess up. You're about to get in a predicament. You know, there was an old saying, you about to cash a check, you know, that so-and-so can't pay. And that's what the Pharisees was doing. They were cashing a check that they could not pay. Verse 42 talks about woe to the Pharisees. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rule and all manner of herbs and pass over judgments and love of God. These ought to ye have done. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the others undone. So in essence, you pick and choose in what you want, and you're not obeying what I'm asking of you. Mm-hmm. What was defined as fighting, it's a fighting word that means great sorrow and great distress, which is, if we look at the King James Version, or if we can see that it was mentioned 116 times. Mm-hmm. Accompanied with language, furious language that decrees harsh judgment. So when you see woe, you know that there's some judgment coming down behind it. You know, it's not just a word that you say that it's going to pat you on the hand or be lovey-dovey, but it's a word that signifies that there is some judgment that's coming behind it. Woe is he. Woe is the Pharisees that do these things, because judgment is following. Woe is the person that takes another man's life that they're not authorized to have. Woe is the man that steals, and you and the law says thou shalt not steal. Woe is the man that does not follow the covenants that God has given to his people. Woe is the man that walk in sin. Woe is the man that does all kinds of abominable things and yet is okay with it. Woe is a man that allows Satan to influence them, to dictate their every move. Woe. You are in a place or a state of judgment, and you are in a place where God will judge you for your behaviors. I look at all these young people that's out killing, that's stealing, that's doing all kinds of things, that's taking one another's life, and don't understand that there is a reality of hell. And if you die in your sins, that's it. There's no rapture. There's no when the Lord get in the sky, you're going to be caught up. There is no caught up for you. There's judgment for you. There's the lake of fire for you. Woe to those that don't heed to the word of God to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Woe, this is a strict warning because sin is in this earth. Sin is affecting everything that we touch. The environment, those storms and tornadoes, those mudslides, those fires, all of it is a result of sin. Judgment is in the land. Oh, Dr. Carey. Oh, what did I say? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So here we have, I'm going to wrap up, that we have Jesus trying to help his enemy, trying to instruct his enemy, trying to give his enemy a more better understanding of what the laws are meant to do. He wants his enemy to understand that you need to be compassionate. I know you saw me. I didn't wash my hands and you feel in some kind of way. How dare you come into my house and you don't wash your hands. But the outward side, or the outward appearance, if you clean the outward appearance and don't clean the inside, you worse. Because I can wash my hands all day long and still feel hatred, still feel animosity, still feel bitterness, still feel jealousy, and all those soul issues will cause me pain. It will cause me frustration. It will cause me to kill my brother. If I feel like your shoes are more valuable than your life, or your car is more valuable than your life, and if you didn't give me your car that you bought and paid for when I asked you for it, then I get angry and beat you up. That is sin. All kinds, that is just sin. Just sin. And that's the way society sees or looks at various things, especially our young people. We look at the rich people. We look at the things that one has, the houses, and it's good to have those things, and especially when God bless you. And the scripture says there's no good thing that God will withhold to those that's walking upright before him. We ought to have those good things because we're walking upright. But we need to understand that our enemies are also people of God. God created these individuals. They may not be saved. And when I say people of God, they're God's children. God made them just like he made us. Now, we have the most good thing. We've got God on our side, and certainly he takes care of us. When we lost, when we don't have it, when we sick, he heals our body. When we need financial blessings, he blesses us. He woke us up this morning. Praise God, everybody on this line this morning. He woke us up, gave us the activities of our limbs, and we bless him, and we thank God for the lesson. But certainly we are to share this blessing with our brethren. So next time, maybe we have the opportunity to sit with our enemies. Maybe our enemies don't know, or they lack understanding. Let's take the time to, one, to pray for them and to be led and to be guided, and to allow God to speak to our hearts and allow the wool, the deception that Satan has over their eyes, because it is deception. Satan is trying to take everyone he can, but we bind it in the name of Jesus, because God gave, in my scripture I so love so often and so many times I speak it, John 10 and 10, because it's so on point. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to kill our young folks. He's trying to kill this generation. He's trying to kill everyone he can. And we have a wicked problem in society, and it's not going away anytime soon. But we have a weapon, and that weapon is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that's able to help us, to address, to lead us and guide us into all truth. We put the whole armor upon us so that we may fight the good fight of faith, so that we may stand, and so that we can have boldness that people that's just living their everyday lives don't. We have to show the power of God's, the power of his anointing, where we can walk into or we can deal with our enemies and know that the Holy Spirit has the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, and the Holy Spirit is arresting them and changing them and conforming them into somebody in which God will be well pleased at, because we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and we are here to bring the lost to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this session on today, this radio session on today. I pray something has been said that will have an effect on those lives, societal lives, that have effect on everyone listening. Let's just break it down like that. God, you know what we have need of. We pray, God, that those, that individual that may hear this lesson will be encouraged to know that we can sit with our enemies, and God will begin to minister to our enemies, and that they may be saved, and that they may come into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Because certainly we want our loved ones saved. We want our loved ones to know Christ in the fullness of his power and authority. Oh, God, you are not somebody that's sitting on the sidelines. You are God, Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Nisi. Matter of fact, you gave Jesus the keys. Hallelujah. And because you gave him the keys, he died on the cross and he rose. And because he rose from the dead, he's given us all power. Then he also ascended to heaven. And when he ascended to heaven, he dropped the comforter. He sent the comforter back with him. And therefore, we have the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, for doing that. We thank you, God, for moving like never before in our lives. And therefore, God, we pray even now that somebody will hear this word. And when they hear this word, that they will be affected to say, how must I repent of my sins? You do it by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All you got to say is, I've sinned. Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. Now I'm saved. And now, God, I want to grow in your grace and in the knowledge, God, that you give unto me. And Father God, we thank you, God. We thank you for each and every one that's heard this lesson on this morning. We pray their healing. We pray their strength. We pray, God, that you gather up that holy boldness that they may address sin and its fullness, all with the power and the love and the compassionate approach as Christ approached this Pharisee. God, we're here. And God, help us. God, open up the doors. Give us favor, God. And let us see when you open the doors that we may minister to somebody that don't know you in the pardon of their sins. Open up those doors and give us the strength to walk therein. Give us a holy boldness like never before, that we may intercept every fiery dot that Satan comes for our neighbors. And let us teach and give words of wisdom and love and compassion like never before. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Thank each and one of you for listening and pray for us. And I want to just say, I want to pray right quick for my co-host. Father God, touch her body, God, touch her mind, God, strengthen her. God, you know her endeavors, God. I pray for her right now in the name of Jesus. All healing, deliverance, everything she needs, financial, I speak it. And everyone on the line that needs a financial blessing, I speak that too in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next Saturday. Be blessed. Bye-bye.